is none different than Krishna, Krishna Tulya Bhagavat. Therefore, it is God, so many, many meanings, unlimited meanings in Srimad Bhagavatam. Every word could take many, many years to discuss, even if Anantadev was discussing, with many mouths, has unlimited meanings. Because it's not different from Krishna. Krishna Tulya Bhagavatam. That Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna. Therefore, who can really understand Srimad Bhagavatam? Lord Shiva says, I understand Srimad Bhagavatam, and I know Srila Shukadev Goswami understands Bhagavatam. But whether Vyasadev understands Bhagavatam or not, I don't know. Anybody thinks they can understand Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma says, I can't understand. Because Krishna is unfathomable. He's unlimited. And everything about him and his devotees and his dham and his devotional service is also like him. Because they're all intimately related with him through his internal potency. And it can only be understood by the grace of Krishna. Only by Krishna's grace one can understand anything about Krishna, anything about Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is through bhakti. Only through bhakti one can understand Krishna. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvata. To understand and know Krishna in tatva means to know Krishna. But who can really know Krishna? Only if Krishna reveals himself. And so we offer our respects to Srimad Bhagavatam as being non-different than Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You do the word for word in one go. That's a good idea. Pitriyam. Paternal. Prithyam chastanam atishta. Yatoktam brahmavadivi. Mayavesha manastata. Kuru kamani matpara. After performing the ritualistic ceremonies, take charge of your father's kingdom. Sit upon the throne and do not be disturbed by materialistic activities. Please keep your mind fixed upon me. Without transgressing the injunctions of the Vedas, as a matter of formality, you may perform your particular duties. Translation, please repeat. After performing the ritualistic ceremonies, take charge of your father's kingdom. Sit upon the throne and do not be disturbed by materialistic activities. Please keep your mind fixed upon me. Without transgressing the injunctions of the Vedas, as a matter of formality, you may perform your particular duties. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When one becomes a devotee, he no longer has any duty to the Vedic regulative principles. One has many duties to perform, but if one becomes fully devoted to the Lord, he no longer has any such obligations. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.41, Divashibhutapti ninam pitrinam na kinkaro naimrini charajan savatmanaya sharana sharanyam gotomakundam pariritya katam. One who has fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord is no longer a debtor to his forefathers, the great sages, human society, the common man, or any living entity. The Supreme Personality of Godhead nonetheless advised Prahlad Maharaj to follow the regulative principles, for since he was going to be the king, others would follow his example. Thus Lord Narsingadev advised Prahlad Maharaj to engage in his political duties so that people would become the Lord's devotees. Yadyadacharati shestas tad tad evitarojana sa yad pramanam kurute lokastad anuvatate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Bhagavad Gita 3:21. One should not be attached to any materialistic activities, but a devotee may perform such activities as an example to show the common man that one should not deviate from the Vedic injunctions. Pityam cha shtanam astista yoktaktam brahmavaribi maya vesha manastata kuru kamani matpara. After performing the ritualistic ceremonies, take charge of your father's kingdom. Sit upon the throne and do not be disturbed by materialistic activities. Please keep your mind fixed upon me without transgressing the injunctions of the Vedas. As a matter of formality, you may perform your particular duties. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langa. So, many subject matters are described here. Performing ritualistic ceremonies, performing different kinds of duties. These subject matters are very complex. We could go on speaking about this subject matter for years. Bhishmadev gave a whole section on about duties, all so many kinds of duties. According to the Vanashram, there's so many kinds of duties. And duties are the symptoms of human beings. Human beings, they have such things. Do animals have any duties to perform? No. That's the difference. That's the difference. Do humans or any animals, do they have any duties that they do? Do we see them doing? Maybe in an ant nest, it seems like some duties are being performed. Or in a beehive, you know, where there's some kind of... Or in a herd of cows, you know, one is the boss and the others have to toe the line, otherwise they get a beating. It appears so. It appears so. So just duties alone, but higher duties, prescribed duties. No, there's no such things. Because prescribed duties are for those people who are human, not just having two legs, standing on two legs. No, there's others who have a human body, but they don't perform prescribed duties. They are sinful, vikarmis. They're engaged in whatever they like to do. They don't care what they eat. They don't care about, you know, marriage like this. They watch pornography. They drink alcohol. They do all of these things. They are vikamis, sinful persons like that. They are fallen human beings, uncivilized. But here it's describing the activities of civilized human beings. Civilized human beings follow the Vedas, or at least some religious system which regulates their life, gives them duties to perform. Of course, we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedas. We are students of the Vedas, studying under the guidance of the spiritual master, the Brahmachari. He begins his studies under the guidance of the spiritual master, and he gets certain duties to perform. As brahmacharis, we have duties to perform like that. And grihasthas, they have other duties to perform Like vanaprasthas, we have other duties. Sannyasis, we have other duties. We have all these different duties to perform automatically. And we do these under the guidance of the bona fide authorities. The bona fide authorities who are coming in disciplic succession. Bona fide authorities mean that they follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the infallible source of knowledge. We can't make up prescribed duties. Human beings, they have that tendency because of imperfect senses, and they have a cheating propensity. They think that they can make up their own prescribed duties, or we'll make our own holy days, Independence Day, or the People's Day, like this, and they try to make a holy day out of it, isn't it? Like this. Yes, it's all these holy days, the holiday, like this, was given in the scriptures, like this, and these are the prescribed duties for human beings. But such speculative persons, they want to make their own holy days, like this. Yeah. So in this way, there's deviations, so many deviations from human form of life. From the human form of life. Human form of life means a life which has the goal of life in mind. They have the goal of life. What is that? What is the goal of life? What is the perfection of life? So human life means to understand. What is the purpose? Why am I here? What is going on here? Animals, they don't know what's going on here. They're just running around blindly, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and throwing a few holidays, you know, where they can relax and do what they like. Rest of the time, they're working hard, looking for food, looking for shelter, looking for money, to get their daughters and sons married. All these things. But human life means to understand, who am I? Who am I? What is the purpose of this existence? What is the purpose? Like this. We ask this question to many people when we go preaching students in college, universities, so many things like that. We ask, what's the difference between you and animals? I ask them like that, very rude. I'm a very rude person. What's the difference between you and an animal? And it's not just 6 foot, okay? So, like so the we inquire from them, and they have to kind of think, well, what is the difference? Animals are sleeping, we are sleeping, they're eating, all these things. Oh, well, we're more logical, we're more reasoning. Yeah, you reasonably eat whatever you like. Like this. So the human being can inquire. Human beings can inquire after what is the truth. Atato Brahma Jigyasa Janmariyacha Jata. Now you have come to this human form of life. You should inquire. What? Janmariyacha Jata. Where did it all come from? What is the purpose? What is the purpose of this life? Human being can inquire after these things. This is the duty of a human being who has got the human form of life. Therefore, my spiritual master, he would stress it many times. If you're not interested in self-realization, then you're just an animal. You may be polished. You may be eating in a fancy restaurant. Yeah, you may be sleeping in a big bed. You may be traveling on four wheels instead of four legs. Like this. But the business is the same. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The business is just the same. So what's the difference between you, Mr. Materialist, and an animal? He would speak very strongly, boldly, speaking in that way. And this human form of life, what is the point of this human life? If you don't use it for inquiring about the absolute truth, you may as well not have a human form. Become a dog, Mr. Materialist. Because you want to eat anything and just have sex on the street, go ahead, become an animal. The human form of life is very rarely achieved. Even the demigods of the higher planets and those people in hell pray to become human beings. I mean, well, you may ask, well, what do you mean, the people of the heavenly planets? I can understand people who are suffering in hell. They would want to come here. But why would people of the heavenly planets want to come here? Can you see it? Why would people of heaven want to take birth here as human beings? It's a good place for self-realization. Correct. That's what you're saying, right? Did I get you right? Yes, he knows. This is a good place for self-realization. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Not too much austerity and not too much sense gratification. If we become too absorbed in austerity, difficulties, suffering, then the mind can become disturbed. The mind will become disturbed. Or if we're engaged too much in sense gratification, too much luxurious life, eating too much, sleeping too much, then also the mind becomes disturbed. Can't be controlled. The example is given in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Krishna says to Uddhava, just like an expert horseman. An expert horseman. He is riding on horse. Huh? And if it's a very untamed, untrained horse, the horse trainer, he knows. He allows the horse some freedom. Some freedom. But if the horse gets off track, immediately he pulls on the reins. And in the mouth is very hard bit. A bit, metal bit. You understand? You understand? A bit they put in a horse's mouth. It's metal. And when it pulls, it hurts the horse's mouth. And it's controlled by reins, the reins. And the rider, he is allowing the horse a little freedom. But if the horse gets off track, immediately checks the horse. So it's allowed some freedom. But if you pulled on the reins all the time, what will happen? The horse will become very distressed. It will become distressed and it will begin to rear up and become out of control. So neither too strict control, neither lax control is necessary. He was talking about fix the mind. So this is the yogic system. The yogic system of fixing the mind. Krishna is explaining in Bhagavad Gita. He's explaining that not too much, not too little. You understand? One who sleeps too much, finish. One who sleeps too little, finish. One who eats too much, finish. One who eats too little, finish. They will not be able to disturb the control the mind. The mind is like this horse. That example is given. Like the horse, Krishna is giving this himself to Uddhava to explain how you control the mind like this. So this has to be done under the directions of Krishna or Krishna's representative, the spiritual master. Now the spiritual master, he has mature knowledge and realization. He's done it himself. He's understood it theoretically and he knows how to practically apply it according to time, place, and student like this. So he knows how to execute Krishna consciousness and how to give it to others like this. So there's many different kinds of regulative principles in the Vedas. So many regulative principles. And by just reading the Vedas, one would become confused. Just like it says a brahmachari, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, the duties of a brahmachari. How does a brahmachari dress according to Srimad Bhagavatam?
Deer skin.
Put on a deer skin and a belt made of kush grass, straw. A straw belt like this and carry in your hand a stick. A stick. So these are the Vedic principles. In the Vedic era, people were doing like that. They were doing those things. And they would take bath with all their clothes on and get out and be walking around wet like this. And they would light a fire in the morning and perform a yajna like that. And they would come to the ashram of the guru with some wood, arani, like this, so they can perform yajna like this. And Lord Krishna was also engaged in this way. Lord Krishna, when he was there in Sandipani Muni's ashram, he was also following this, the Vedic system, like this. But if you read these things, you'll think, oh, what have I got to do? I got to get a deer skin. Is it? Who did that? Somebody was wearing a deer skin in Chaitanya Leela. Who was wearing a deer skin? Brahmananda Bharati. Brahmananda Bharati was wearing a deer skin, was it? And he was walking around like that in the Vedic. And Lord Chaitanya, did he like it? No. Well, what's this? They changed the rules. That was for a different period of time. But in this period of time, things have changed. We're following different kinds of rules now. We follow different rules. In the Vedic system, they were following so many different yajnas. Not like that. All grihasthas had to perform so many different kinds of sacrifice every day. So many different kinds of yajnas we cried. How many kinds? Was it five? I can't remember. Five different kinds like this, and they're engaged in all these different things. And these are the prescribed rules of the Vedas. If you didn't do those things, you were considered like uncultured. Uncultured person. Outside the Vedic system. Like that. And according to the ashram one was in, the duties are different. And according to the Varna, the ones of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the duties are all different. These are all different activities. So how on earth do you know what is to do? I mean, it is very complex. And here we have a complete, what's this? Prabhupada says, when one becomes a devotee, he no longer has any duty to the Vedic regulated principles. Oh, so we don't do anything. Oh, I'm gay. I walk naked. I walk naked. Avaduta. Can you do it? You walk naked in Bombay. Down the middle of the highway. Haribol. No. Prabhupada says one has many duties to perform. But if one becomes fully devoted to the Lord, he no longer has any such obligations. He doesn't have any obligation to do any duty. What does it mean? Does he live like an animal? What? Animals don't have any duties to do. What does it mean? What on earth is being meant here? And Prabhupada quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, Adivashi Bhutati Ninam Pitsinam Nakin Kuro Naimini Charajan Shavatmana Ya Sharana Sharanyam Goto Mokondam Bhagiri Chakaratam. That translation is, O King, one who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away. Since all such classes of living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one who has surrendered to the Lord's service has no need to serve such persons separately. The next sloka after this, everybody probably knows the sloka, maybe not in Sanskrit, but they know it. And that is, that's a different song. No, the example is given that just like a tree, there's one sloka in Srimad Bhagavatam. I thought it was the next one. No, it isn't. I think it's further down. The tree, if one waters the root of a tree, then there's no need to apply water to the twigs and the leaves of the tree. There's no need, because automatically, by watering the root of a tree, the tree gets all sufficient water. So who wants to serve Krishna? There's no need to serve any others. Because when you serve Krishna, automatically, how is it? Automatically, they are automatically served. The demigods will automatically be satisfied. Now the forefathers will automatically be taken care of. All living entities will automatically be taken. Your relatives and your family will automatically be taken care of. Therefore, you're not a debtor. You're not in debt. Everybody's a debtor who's born. We're all indebted. But that person who's happy is Anruni. He doesn't have any debt. He doesn't have any debt to anyone. Therefore, he's happy. So someone who engages in devotional service to Krishna, he gives up other engagement and takes full shelter of the lotus feet of Hari. What does full shelter mean? It means that he has complete faith that by serving Krishna, everything is automatically taken care of. Next example is given, just as by putting food and feeding the stomach, automatically all the limbs of the body are nourished. Just by getting food, Prabhupada said, rubbing food on the other limbs of the body, if I get rubbed my food, like this on my... ladies may do that, they'll rub the food on the face. Like that, they rub food on their face, nourish their faces, like that, look beautiful, like this. But the thing is that to satisfy Krishna, one only needs to serve Krishna, and one who has full faith in that thing. Some people say, oh, but that's for people who are totally liberated, you know, you can't do that, you must follow all the injunctions and all. No, it says that one who has faith, he puts his full faith. Faith means unflinching faith. Shraddha. Shraddha means strong faith. It doesn't mean flimsy faith. Shraddha means strong faith. It doesn't mean, oh, maybe, perhaps. No, it means I accept it and I put it into my life. I put it into my life. That means, he does not endeavor for any fruitive puja, ritualistic ceremonies, worshipping demigods, or anything. All the rituals. He may still do them as a matter of duty. But he knows that the results are given by Krishna alone. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita. Those who are foolish, the materialistic persons, they worship the demigods. But those who are intelligent know that actually it's the results are given by me alone. Everything is given by Krishna. Even Krishna is giving this human form of life. He's giving us all the necessities of this world. He's giving us the Vedas. Then you may ask, well, why is there so much duties and all this Vedic, all this Karmakanda stuff? Why is it there? Because some people are materialistic. How many percentage of the people are materialistic? A greater percentage than what's sitting in this room. So most of the people are materialistic. Therefore, the Vedas are written for the general mass to bring them to a higher state of consciousness by which they can understand that they are not this body, that they are a spirit soul, and that the things of this material world are temporary. To give them this knowledge that ultimately we're all going to die. And despite all of our endeavors to get big material positions, to get so much sense gratification, to achieve big bank balance, to get so much money in the bank, ultimately it can be finished any moment. Any moment. We don't know when we will die. We don't know when we will die. It could be today. It could be the next day. Of course I'm thinking, oh no, I will never die. Don't talk nonsense. I will live forever. This is the most amazing thing. The most amazing thing. You see, has anybody anybody beaten the death toll? Death is the biggest killer, didn't you know? It is the number one killer. Death. There's no cure. Nobody has found a cure for death. No. And there's nobody around who will say, look, I haven't died. You might say, what? I haven't died? What are you talking? Baba, the moment you were born, you started to die. From the moment we're born, we start to die. That is the nature of this material body. Dehinu shvinyata dehe komaram yavadamjara. Where's the baby's body now? I had a baby's body. Where is it? dead. It's gone. This is not the same body. I transmigrated. Every cell within that body is finished, gone. All the chemicals of that body are gone. And this is another one. And death is simply another change. So in this way, we should see the temporary nature of this material world. Those persons who come to the human form of life and they use this intelligence to perform devotional service to Krishna, they develop detachment. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojata Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayara Haitukam. They chant Hare Krishna, they come here, then, and they see, oh, this material world, it stinks. It smells of death. When I'm on the train, every time we drive somewhere, all we can smell is dead carcasses or something, stool. It has this distinct smell of rotting flesh, like this. So this is the material world. And we should see how it is so, how it is so, how people are working very hard, without not one moment of full consciousness. No, they're simply working very hard. They feel they've got many duties. Oh, I have my duties to go to school and get a good education. Why? Oh, because my parents, I have my duties to my parents. Why? Oh, so I have duties to my boss and get some money. Why? Oh, well, I have a duty to my senses. I have to serve my senses. Like this. And because of why I am identifying with this material body, I'm identifying with this body, it's making so many duties for me. Oh, I'm a young man. I must wear these jeans. And I must have this mobile phone. Like this. I'm an old man. I must wear these terry cut trousers, you know. And but we all wear very big belts here, big buckles, like this, because this is my duty to fashion. I must follow the fashion. Otherwise, if I wore what people were wearing 50 years ago, everybody will laugh at me. Ha ha, wearing a dhoti. Ha ha ha. Do you go to work like that? Do you go to school like that? Why not? No, because you have duty to fashion. Like this, so many things. And you follow it. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm not saying you should walk naked in the street. Just wear a copan. A string, just one string. Oh, you don't need that string. Throw that string. Oh, this neck beat. Well, I'll throw that. Like that. So in this way, we have certain duties as devotees. We have certain duties as devotees. That's another thing. Regulative principles. Regulative principles of freedom. They're putting a sign. Follow the regulative principles of freedom. And I sometimes laugh. Ha 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 ha. Even the devotees are not free. Yeah, we're struggling also. We're banging our heads against the wall. Why am I still attached to sense gratification? Like this. Because Krishna consciousness is really achieved. It's really achieved. And therefore we have to follow so many rules and regulations. Rules and regulations. You get up, you have to sign in. Sign in the morning. Like this. Or sign out in the evening, maybe. I don't know. Like that. So in this way, these rules and regulations, they're okay. Tell me, by signing in, will you get bhakti? You don't know? Will you get bhakti by signing in the book? Huh? By pleasing authorities, he'll get bhakti. Do you agree? You agree? What about you? Do you agree? You don't want to make any waves. What does Srimad Bhagavatam say? Non-processes is the worst. That will get you bhakti? Ha 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 ha. When Ramananda Roy was being asked by Lord Chaitanya, oh, that's a nice story. That's a nice story. Lord Chaitanya, he met Ramananda Roy, and they were embracing, right? They were embracing. But Lord Chaitanya saw there was some brahmanas there. There was some brahmanas there. So immediately, he checked his ecstatic emotion. He checked it. He's the Supreme Lord. I mean, he's enjoying. But he checked himself. Why? For the benefit of those people. Because they'll commit a parade, they'll criticize. So he checked himself up. Because Ramananda Roy is a sudra, right? He's a sudra. He's considered a sudra by those brahmanas. But he's the topmost devotee. His topmost devotee, Nityasiddha, Lord Chaitanya's Krishna, Radha Krishna combined. He's Arjuna Shaki, Arjuna, Lalita, Vishaka. Embrace him. Like that. And Lord Chaitanya, he treated Ramananda Roy like guru. Like guru. He accepted Ramananda Roy like his guru. Does Lord Chaitanya need a guru? Why? What are you saying? Of course he needs a guru. He's only Krishna. And Ramananda Roy, he's Arjuna Shakti. Wow. He needs to hear from him. Krishna can't understand anything about pure devotional service, can he? He has to hear from Radharani or Radharani's associates. How can Krishna know anything about devotional service? He has to become a devotee. He has to accept the mood of a devotee and become a devotee, and therefore he has to learn from another devotee. Inconceivable. He doesn't need anybody. It's true, he doesn't, but he does. And so he accepts Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy is such a personality. He's a grihastha, and he's massaging young girls, isn't he? Massaging young girls. Don't even think about it, brahmachari. How can we think about that? But Ramananda Roy was massaging it. Was he agitated in the mind? Very beautiful young girls, dancers, very muscular. Whoa. And he's massaging them, naked. How can he do it? And here, and Lord Chaitanya sent one sannyasi to him. Go learn about Krishna. What was his name? Pradyumna Mishra. Was it? Was it Pradyumna Mishra? Sent him there. You go learn about Krishna from him. You go learn about Krishna. So Ramananda Roy was such a person. Even sannyasis, Lord Chaitanya said, go hear from him. So Lord Chaitanya was inquiring from Ramananda Roy how to get the perfection of life. And when Ramananda Roy said, following Varnashram, following all the Varnashram institution, what did Lord Chaitanya say? Huh? No, it's external. No, that won't do. And when he said, executing the 9 processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Matanam, Pandavam, huh? What did he say? Huh? He said, no. Nah, that will not do. That won't give you bhakti. That's what he said. I'm only repeating what he said. He said, no, won't do. Then how to get it? What came after that? Lord Chaitanya said, yes, that's okay. When he said, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from pure devotee, Then Lord Chaitanya said, yes, that's good. Yes, but can you tell more? But he said, yes. At that point, he said, yes. Why is it so? Why is it so? That when you hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of a pure devotee, then you will develop bhakti. Even though you may follow all rules and regulations of Vedas, you won't get bhakti. Even though you may be engaged in hearing, chanting, and remembering Vishnu, according to Lord Chaitanya, no, that will not do. That won't do. But when it came to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from a pure devotee and studying Srimad Bhagavatam under them, Lord Chaitanya said, yes, that will do it. That will do it. That will get you bhakti. That will give you that will bring you to the perfectional stage of life. Why is it so? So there may be many rules and regulations. But here, it is being given that one who thinks of Krishna with a fixed mind, because Krishna says that to Arjuna, just fix your mind on me. Always think of me 24 hours a day. Right? Keep your mind fixed on me 24 hours a day, always thinking of me, nothing else, nothing else. And then Krishna says to Arjuna, but if you can't do that, then you, what? Follow rules and regulations. Because you can't think of Krishna 24 hours a day. Can you? Can you think of 24 hours a day, Krishna? 24 hours a day. Despite going to school, beside doing your work and job, beside going to the bank and seeing what the balance is, besides looking at the bills when they come in the mail, besides having all your temple duties, you've got to do the puja, you've got to clean the floor, you've got to do the cooking, you've got to go to the market, you've got to go to the bookstore and get books to go out on distribution, you've got to fight through the traffic in the vehicle to go where you're going, get on the bus and it's all crowded, everybody's pushing and pushing. And they're pushing, hey, just watch it. And they'll push me off the bus. How can I remember Krishna? How can I be thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day? I'm just thinking I've got to go to the bathroom. I've got to go prasadam. I've got to wash my clothes, get them dry. So how can you think of Krishna 24 hours a day? Despite all that, Arjuna was on the battlefield, right? They're trying to kill him. Shooting arrows are flying everywhere. And he has to counteract these different, listening to these mantras and boom. How can he think of Krishna? Well, Krishna's sitting right there. Krishna's sitting right there. How did he do it? How is he thinking of Krishna? Is it possible to think of Krishna 24 hours a day? Some people say, it's impossible. I can't do it, therefore it's impossible. Like that. But it is possible. It is possible. Who can think of Krishna 24 hours a day? Who can? That person who has love for Krishna. Someone who has Krishna in the platform of love, they think of Krishna 24 hours a day. If I don't have Krishna in the platform of love, then I cannot think of him. No, without love, my so-called surrender is either conditional, partial, or artificial. I may say, I'll surrender. I'll surrender. I come to the temple, I'll surrender. I'll be on my knees, washing the floor with my own cloth. The ladies will get their hair and they'll wash the floor with it. I'll surrender, I'll give my life to Krishna. But I may be working physically with my body, but my mind is in Australia, thinking about some sense gratification I did when I was 15 years old, or 20 years old. All these memories are there, samskaras, all these deep emotional memories, like plaguing me, thinking of so many things. Instead of thinking about Krishna, I'm thinking about something else. Why? Because I don't love Krishna. I don't have any love for Krishna. You have to have love for Krishna to think of Krishna 24 hours a day. So how to get that? And Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, this is the higher taste. Rasova samrasopriyasya. Rasova samrasopriyasya. Param dristva nivartate. It's the higher taste. Otherwise, you can't remain fixed. Fixed in consciousness. And Sringadeva is saying, you have your mind fixed on me. Fixed means 24 hours a day. Fixed. Param vistva nivyatate. What does that mean? Because Prahlad has Nrisingadeva in the platform of love. He has a loving relationship with Lord Nrisingadeva. He has the perfection of life. He already has perfection of life. He doesn't have to follow any rules and regulations because he's already there. He's already on the platform of thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. Of course, Kamsa was also thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. That's explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That he is also thinking. But that is not favorable. That's not favorable. It's not faithful and it's not favorable. But still, he achieved the perfection of Krishna consciousness. And what was that? Wherever he looked, he saw Krishna. He couldn't get to sleep. When he closed his eyes, he would see Krishna. And how did he see Krishna? As his enemy, who's coming to kill him. So this is not favorable. But he achieved full Krishna consciousness. He achieved full Krishna consciousness. Of course, this is Krishna Leela. He's not an ordinary person. But this is unfavorable. Because he's seeing Krishna as his enemy. And Krishna's coming to kill him. So it's very fearful for him. He's terrified. He's terrified. But the devotee has to fix the mind. Srila Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion that somehow or other we must fix the mind on Krishna. Somehow or other. And the spiritual master, he knows the art. Because each person is a little different. It's a little different. Just like my eyesight's bad. And you may say, well, my eyesight's bad too. I say, oh, look, I've got these great things here, spectacles here. You try these. And you may put them on and go, oh, I can't see anything. And I'll say, what do you mean? They work for me. What's wrong with you? They worked for me, okay. Then it should work for everybody, isn't it? If your eyes are bad, the glasses should work for you. Shouldn't it? Come on, the glasses work. No, they'll say, no, they're your glasses. They're for your eyes. My eyes are different than your eyes. I need a different kind of glass. So the spiritual master, he's expert in engaging the disciple, the student, who comes and asks him for assistance, for guidance, how to engage my mind, how to fix my mind on Krishna. Please help me, Gurudev. So Gurudev, he asks some question. Yes, what are you doing? Where's your life? Where you come from? This, that. Oh, yes. Hey, you should be brahmachari. Oh, temple. Get some training. Come and get some training. Like this. And as it goes on, you should be grihastha. Get married. Like this. You should go to university and complete your degree like this. No, you should stay here and just worship the deity. No, you should become a preacher and you should travel all around. Just preaching like this. There's different kinds of duties given to different persons. Lord Chaitanya was giving different, you, the Goswami, go to Vrindavan, write books. Of course, they are not conditioned souls. I'm just giving this as an example. But others, they're given different duties. And it may not necessarily be Vedic. It's not necessarily Vedic because we're following a Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement in the Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, everybody's so... Nobody knows what Vana because we're all born in no gotras, no nothing. It's all so higgledy-piggledy like that. Of course, Prabhupada said, we should do Varnashram. And devotees, oh yeah, I'm a Brahmana, I'm a Brahmana. Everybody, I'm a Brahmana. No, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm a Kshatriya. I'm on the big position, I'll put a crown like this. No, I'm a Vaishya, I want all the money. Sudra, what do you mean I'm a Sudra? Get lost. I want to be a Vaishya like him and have all the money. Like this. So in this way, people have many misunderstandings. Because these are all material activities. And they're always changing. They're always changing. They're the material activities. And they're the material side of our consciousness, of our life, our social duties, like that. So also in Lord Chaitanya Leela, that story is there of Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das, he just wanted to leave home. He just wanted to leave home and join Lord Chaitanya, become a mendicant, you know, a sannyasi. But he was a young man. He was a millionaire. He had a very beautiful wife. His father and mother, they never wanted him to. They were keeping him practically with guards, watching him all the time. He doesn't run away. Like, so Lord Chaitanya told him, no, don't be mad. Don't be mad. You behave just like everybody else. Nobody should know what is your inner consciousness. So there's two kinds of consciousness. Internal consciousness and external consciousness. We hear about this thing in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Das Kaviraj is saying like that. Oh, I got the benediction of Balaram and, you know, to write this book, but I'm less than Jagai and Madai. Don't even say my name. There's no one more sinful than me. So it seems there's two kinds of consciousness. There's our internal and external consciousness. Internally, we're developing love for Krishna. Internally, what I'm thinking of, what I'm dreaming about, what I desire, how I spend my time contemplating, I'm always thinking of Krishna in such a way, in such a way. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a lady, a married lady, who has a paramour, a boyfriend, a lover, you see. And that lady, she's doing all of her duties very nice and serving her husband very nice, keeping the house nice and clean, doing all the cooking and everything. She's doing everything very nice. But what's she thinking about? She's thinking about her lover. And when she will meet her lover, oh, in the night I will sneak away and I will meet my lover. Of course, who's that lover? What's his name? Krishna. Like that. And she's got a lover and her name, his name is Krishna. Like that. So he gives this example. This is the internal consciousness. And this is to never be revealed to anyone. Maybe a guru may ask you. You can reveal to guru something. But generally speaking, internal consciousness is never revealed to anyone. That's our confidential. And that's our inner self. And we are cultivating that. Always thinking of Krishna, reading about Krishna, thinking about him. But externally, I may be behaving as a father. I have children. I have to instruct my children. I may be behaving as a boss at work. I'm instructing the workers how to get this work done and do this work. I may be behaving as the temple commander and giving them all duties. Get this done. We need this cleaning done. In this way, we're doing so many things externally. This is the external behavior. This is our external consciousness, getting the practical things done in life and following all the rules and regulations. We follow all the rules and regulations. We get up, we take bath, tilak on our head, like this, we run to Mangalartik. Before Mangalartik, we're here all chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And externally appears like we're getting purified, but internally we're thinking, oh, please engage me in your eternal loving service. I want to serve you in so many ways like this. I want to serve my spiritual master in so many ways like this. In this way we're developing a loving mood. oh, for serving Krishna. Like that. And we develop an in loving sentiment. We can't manifest that outside. I can't be going, oh, I love Krishna, I love Radharani. Oh, we don't say this thing. No, we offer all respects to others, and a devotee always says, I have nothing. I have no love for Krishna. I have no love for Krishna. I'm the most fallen. There's no one more fallen than me. I'm lower than Jagai and Madai. I may be engaged as the temple president, and I'm telling you what to do, but you're my Prabhus. I'm serving you. And I may be distributing books, you know, and I'm telling people about the book, and I'm giving the book, and I'm thinking, they're such a nice devotee. I'm not a devotee at all. They're nice devotees. And everybody got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and they all get Krishna, but I have not got anything. I have not gotten anything like that. So in this way, the devotee has these kinds of consciousness, internal consciousness. Of course, he doesn't go around saying, I'm nothing, I'm an idiot. No, he may be the spiritual master, and he's giving instruction from Srimad Bhagavatam and giving the instruction to the devotees and encouraging them and preaching to them. But inwardly, he may be thinking, I'm a dog, you know, and you're all very nice devotees. I'm so fortunate Krishna sent you all to me so I can engage in some devotional service. It says like that. There's so many prayers like that. There's so many prayers. So the internal consciousness is there. And in this way, if one develops some love for Krishna, then instead of putting your bank balance or your wife and kids in the platform of love, you put Krishna in the platform of love. That doesn't mean you tell the kids and, you know, the wife, oh, get away, get away. No, you don't do that. You act just like a very devoted husband and a devoted father, like this. It doesn't mean you throw all these things. No. No, one's a better father and a better husband and a better boss. He's a better manager because he's doing it all for Krishna. And he's not attached to the results. He's not attached to anything material. How is it so? Because he's only thinking about his loving relationship inside. The material world is just out there, you know. It's just something we do. And he's afraid of it. He is afraid of it. Like Lord Brahma. Like Lord Brahma was praying to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, please protect me. Because people will say, I'm the creator. But I'm not the creator. You are the creator. People will say, I'm a very great God. But I'm not. You are the supreme God. I'm nothing. I'll become bewildered, this material work, you know. I'll become bewildered and puffed up by this. Please protect me. Like that. So a devotee, he's always saying, every day, oh Gopinath, please protect me. Hey, Lord Chaitanya is playing. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahimam. Like that. So he's always asking, please maintain me. Please protect me. Please protect me. Give me protection. Please maintain me. Maintain what? Give me food? No, give me this kind of food. Give me Srimad Bhagavatam. Give me Sadhu Sangha. Huh? Give me the holy name. Like this, give me this kind of food. And please protect me. Protect me what? From what? From my enemies? Protect me from this forgetfulness of you. Let me not forget you. In whatever life I may be in, I don't care. Even I get the body of a worm. An insect. I don't care. As long as I never forget you, as long as I'm with the association of your pure devotees who have no material desires, I'm happy. I'm happy because I'll be remembering you like this. Huh? And someone who's like that, they are surrendered. Huh? They are surrendered. Therefore, there's no rules and regulations for them. There is no rules and regulations. just like some Babaji's. Some Babaji's, like Gorkha Shodas Babaji. You know, he's chanting Hare Krishna in a latrine. A latrine. You know, an Indian latrine. In Nabadweep. You know, at the back of some shops, there was some, you know, places where people passed urine and stuff. So he just parked himself in one of those places and chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Why? Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, Jai. Why? Why did he do it? To avoid people. To avoid you. He didn't want you coming and bothering him. He didn't want to be bothered. Why? Because he's thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. He's thinking, and his internal consciousness is becoming so important to him. It's more important than what goes on out here. If he got hungry, well, he'd just pick up some dirt and back to his internal consciousness again. He wouldn't eat or drink for days like this. Why? Because he's getting such nectar. He's getting such nectar. What? Thinking about Krishna. Yeah, the loving relationship. Very deep and meaningful loving relationship. Just like there's a perverted reflection of this in the material world. There's a perverted reflection. Just like an infatuated young girl. Huh? She sees some boy and she makes friendship with some boy and she just can't get him out of her mind. She can't sleep. Just rolling this way. Oh, I can't. I'm thinking, when will I meet him? When will I meet him? When will I see him? When will I see him? This way, she can't eat. She can't. He becomes very thin. And when she meets her friends, did you see him? What did he say? When are we going to meet? And to say his name. Oh, what's his name? Ravi or something. Oh, Ravi, 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 Ravi. Oh, his name. He just can't get the name out of their mind. Isn't it? Have you seen it? Maybe you were like that with some girl. Right? Did you have a girlfriend when you were young? Some young girl? You were thinking? Hare Krishna. Oh, you had Hare Krishna. You were only thinking of Krishna. So it's a devotee. He's only thinking of Krishna. He did not think anyone. Some young girl. I was thinking like that. And that girl, you say the name of that girl. Jill, her name was. Ah, pretty terrible name, mind you. But in this way, and then when thinking of the name, and you can say the name over, and they've read songs, they write songs in English. Maria, 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 Maria. And they sing, oh, Maria, Maria. Oh, your name, I cannot get your name from my mind. Maria, Maria. Where I say it soft, it's like praying. Oh, like this. So this is the perverted reflection. You understand? Someone who develops a deep attachment. You understand? A deep attachment, then the name. They can't get the name out of the mind. They just think of the face, the words. Oh, how he said that. The words, where they had the sound of his voice. Oh, the way he walks. Wow, the way he was walking. Hear the gait of his walk. Therefore, in Shastra, we hear this thing. When Krishna was walking, it was like he was walking like an elephant. Smooth and slowly, flowing movement, like this. But when he was walking quick, like Lord Chaitanya, it was like a maddened lion walking to Jagannath Puri. Like a maddened lion. Like this. So we hear the description of how he walked, the description of how he looked. He had such big, beautiful lotus petal eyes that almost reached his ears. Very big, like that. And his lips were reddish. And his palms of his hands are beautifully reddish, and the soles of his feet, naturally. And he has very long arms and beautiful hair. Lord Chaitanya's hair was so beautiful and fine. And shining and curling. that when they shaved his head for sannyas, even the barber fainted. He didn't want to do it. It took him all day to even get the strength to hold the razor to shave his head. And it's gone like this. So it's described. All these descriptions are given. So a devotee, he hears from pure devotees, who have developed intense attachment for Krishna. He hears from such persons and it infects him. He becomes infected with it. Just like a young girl is infected by hearing about a young boy like this. Oh, that boy, have you seen him? Muscles, man. Such a muscle. And Krishna's stomach is thin, very thin with these muscles. Six-pack. Krishna's stomach like this. And he's very broad. And he has big hips. Big hips. A girl could just sit on that hip. Man, so, wow, such a beauty. You have to go. That's okay. I understand. I'm going a little over time. Like this. So this is the internal consciousness. I'm trying to give you an idea. How a devotee whose consciousness has become purified by following the regulative principles. The regulative principles are to bring us to Shuddha-Sattva, to free us from the lower modes of passion and ignorance. In such a state, the heart becomes softened. The heart becomes softened by hearing the instructions of the Vedas from a self-realized soul. Of course, the instructions of the spiritual master in this stage is Nityananda Balaram. Like the plow. It's like the plow. Lord Balaram has a plow. What is a plow used for? Cultivation. Cultivation. Like that. The plow is used to cultivate the bad land. It's got hard land. Without cultivation, you can't grow. You must be cultivated. Like that. Kashan. Is it Akashan or Kashan? Cultivation. And like this. So this cultivation is there. So Balaram's plow is there, symbolic. It's plowing. So the Lord, the spiritual master, he's the representative of Balaram in this way. And he gives this analytical study to the neophyte devotees who've got hearts as hard as a rock. Very hard-hearted. Not one drop of tear comes from their eye when they chant Hare Krishna. They're just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, finish. 16 rounds, finished, I've done it for today. Like that. They're as hard as a rock, like that. They never taste any sweetness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Done my duty. I did it as a duty. Finished. Like that. So the spiritual master, he speaks very strongly. Very strongly. Like this. And breaks these hard hearts. By speaking strongly, harsh words about material nature. Nasty material body. Nice, full of stool and blood and bones. Like that. Nasty material body. Bad smell coming out of it. So many diseases, so many aches and pains, so many difficulties, hard struggle. You have to get food for it and dress it, put it in a nice house. So you have to work so hard in a job, get money, slaving away like an ass, carrying so many heavy loads. You have to work so hard and then you get old age. So many diseases, your teeth are falling out. I don't care what I look like. You know, I'm a bit of a mad person. No, no, I don't care. I should care, but I don't care. Like that. But so, in this way, we're suffering. We're suffering. So we have to hear how this material world is a suffering place, nasty place, like this. And then we become disgusted with it. We become disgusted with it. Because the spiritual master keeps telling us again and again, there's no happiness here. There's no happiness. There's no love here. There's no real friendship here. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said it was like a stool house. You just do your business and you get out. It stinks. This material world stinks. Oh, this material body stinks. I have to wash it. You know? Dirty place. Like this. So we hear about these things, and in this way, gradually, our heart becomes softened. And we hear, we start to put faith in it. Yes, Gurudev, you're right. I accept it. But I'm stuck here. Like this. And then we become disgusted. We become disgusted. And we make a determined vow. I will not think of sense gratification again. I will never allow thought of sense gratification to enter my mind again. Never. I will not think of sense gratification in any way again. I will only think of Krishna. I will always think of the service to Krishna and serving my guru and serving Lord Chaitanya's mission. I won't allow any other thought to enter my mind. I will kick it out. Because I've served those things. And they are just wicked, wicked masters. The only result will be unlimited misery, samsara, repeated birth and death. Ah! Nasty material world. Maya! Maya! Wicked witch! Ah! Nasty! Like this. And as long as I have served her, she's just given me repeated birth and death. Life after life after life. Like this. So I've suffered enough. By hearing, we can hear it. Yeah. So many lifetimes I've been here. Millions and millions of lifetimes. You can't trace it out when I came here. When did I come here? Since time immemorial. How long is that? So long, it cannot be traced down. Eternal, almost eternal. Wow, that's a long time. And in how many species of life have I been? 8,400,000, from Brahma to a worm. You've had them all. And now you've come to this human form of life. This is a rare, rare opportunity to get out. A rare opportunity to finally get out. To finally get out, will I take it seriously? Will I take it seriously? So by hearing, that cultivation, by hearing it again repeatedly, it cultivates. And we water. To make land fertile, you have to cultivate it and keep it wet. Keep it wet all the time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this makes the heart soft. And then when the heart is soft and fertile, then the spiritual master can sow the seed of love for Krishna. Attachment for Krishna will not grow in a materialistic person's heart. It will not grow there. Only weeds will grow there. In rotten, you know, stony, hard land, you don't see any beautiful flowers growing there. Only weeds. So one has to cultivate. One has to follow the rules and regulations. Huh? Under the guidance of the spiritual master, like this. And it appears mechanical, because plowing is mechanical. Growing is organic, but the plowing is required if you've got a stone-like heart, and the watering, you have to bucket water on. Make irrigation, stay in the association of devotees, like that. Or if you have to go to work, man, we can get a Walkman now. Hare Krishna. Like this. You can stay in the association, put a picture in your car, put a picture in your job, put bhajans on at work. Let them all get purified. Take buckets of prasadam. You can buy a tiffin this big. You know, and carry this much prasadam with you all the time. So you never buy anything. Why are you wasting your money? Buying rubbish things. You carry a tiffin this big then. Mahaprasad. Oh, I'm hungry. What have I got? Puris, subject, ladu. Yes. in this way, strong, strong, always taking prasad, always hearing Krishna. Anyway, you don't need anything. You don't need anything. Keep yourself Krishna conscious. In somehow or another, fix your mind on Krishna. Find the means and ways to always think of Krishna. And the spiritual master is there to help you. You always ask him, oh Gurudev, I have this problem, this problem, this problem. Why? What are you doing? This, that, that. Okay, you do like this. Like a doctor. The spiritual master is one kind of doctor, vaidya, like this. We go there to doctor when we're sick. You think, oh, I'll cure. It'll go away. It'll go away. You know, I've got some sickness, some infection. I think it'll just go away. What will happen? I'll become diseased. I'll become really sick. So we go to a doctor, and the doctor gives us medicine and tells us, no, you have to rest that food. Or you don't stop eating that oily food. No. You must change your diet. You must do this, must do that. Try this instead. Oh, I didn't think of that. Oh, I was thinking that was good for me. No, that's the worst thing for you. Oh, I didn't know about that. Are you stupid? You should have done that from the beginning. You wouldn't have got sick. Mindless. So we need guidance of spiritual master like this. He helps us. He's very happy to see us make inquiry. When we go to the spiritual master and tell him, oh, please, Gurudev, please help me. I need guidance in this way. You please bestow your mercy on me and tell me what to do. Give me some service. Please give me some service so I can be fully engaged. Like this. I'm like, oh, you really want that? And he's very happy. He thinks, this person's serious. And he helps them. He'll take trouble. In this way, one can fix the mind on Krishna. And Krishna's there. And then if one makes this resolution, if one makes this resolution, I will not serve anyone but Krishna now. I've served my senses so long. Now I make this resolution, I will give it up. I will give it up. I will do everything positive for Krishna. And I will reject everything else. Throw it far away. Like this. And I pray to Krishna, please give me intelligence. Please give me intelligence. Please protect me. Like that. Then Krishna will help us from within. From within he'll help us. When he comes outside, as sadhus, gurus, shastra, like this, and he's within, he'll push you. He'll push you in this direction. Push you in that way. Chaita guru will push you. He'll help you. Like this. And in this way, you'll be pushed into the right direction. In this way, please protect me from offenses. Don't commit any offenses to anybody. Please protect me. So in this way, devotees, please protect me, please protect me. Like this. Huh? And then the devotee becomes happy. The devotee becomes happy. And he starts to feel great happiness and bliss. And he's dancing in the kirtan. Oh, Haribol, Haribol. Like this, and he feels himself happy. And then he has to hear from his guru, no, that's not the real happiness. That's not the real happiness. No, don't be satisfied with it. That's not enough. No, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. Because Nayanam Galadashu Darya Vadanam Gadgadurudaya Gera Pulake Nitisamvabugada Tavanama Grene Bhavishati. Oh, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love, flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up? And when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? No, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I'm saying this prayer every day, but do I know what it means? I'm saying I'm not going to be happy unless tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. Like Lord Chaitanya and his associates. They're chanting Hare Krishna and we're chanting Hare Krishna. There's a difference. When they were chanting Hare Krishna, they were rolling on the ground. And they were shedding tears. And their whole bodies were shaking. And all the hairs of their body were standing on end. And their voices were choked with emotion, with love. Is that happening to me? No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. No, I have nothing. I have nothing. Not a drop. Lord Chaitanya, please give me one drop of mercy. O Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Koro Dasya Chinapeka Atihina. I have not got one drop. So I'm coming to you. Oh, please. Please be kind to me. And all like this. And give me the intelligence how to behave nicely so I'll not commit any offense and do all my duties properly to my family, to society, to my work, to my studies, to my mother and father, to my friends, to the devotees, to the demigods, to the Supreme Lord. Please help me do the right thing. Do the right thing according to the time, place, and circumstance. But internally, the only thing I want is to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis, Sri Krishna. I'm not a Brahman or I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not any of those things. They're all of this material world. But really, I just want to become Krishna's servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Nityananda. Like that. So in this way, we develop this thing, Krishna consciousness. We're here to develop Krishna consciousness. So it's a gradual development. You can't just do it overnight. Just like some people say, oh, you say they hate the material desires. Or one lady asked that. And I said, yes. But just say you have a desire to become married. Well, you don't have to hate that. We just have to hate all these nagging things that are coming into our mind, all these nonsense thoughts. Get rid of them. But if you have got some material desire, you should approach the spiritual master, and that can be dovetailed in the service of Krishna. You might want to become a Sanskrit scholar. Okay, then learn Sanskrit. You want to maybe able to develop some particular art. I want to paint paintings for Krishna. That's okay. I wish to do some kind of service, worship the deity. I wish to become a scholar, study these books. So many things. That's okay. You can do that. You can do that. Under the guidance of the Guru, those things can all be engaged in the service of Krishna. And they are not impediments. But what is impediment is this lust, this desire to enjoy, this greed for material possessions, material position, all these things, and this envy of others. Envy of others. We got to get rid of that thing. Like this, so we hate these things. These things disgust us. And we pray to Krishna, please take those away. I don't want them. I don't want them. And gradually, like I said, the horse has got the bit in its mouth. Gradually, the mind can be fixed on Krishna. And despite all of our activities, even if we're a big businessman and we've got billions of dollars, and we have a total empire of things, still, the businessman is just thinking about Krishna. He's just thinking about Krishna and how he read in the Krishna book how Krishna has a friend called Sudama, and Krishna was running to meet that friend of his. Krishna has such love for his friends. He's thinking about that. Oh, I just heard that. How wonderful Krishna is. Krishna's such a great, kind friend. And Krishna enjoys so many things. Krishna's even saying, that Rasa Leela was so good. I want to do it again. I want to do it again and again. It's so much pleasure Krishna gets. So a devotee's mind is always full of And Lord Chaitanya's leelas, how Lord Chaitanya is giving so much ecstasy to the devotees, bestowing so much mercy, so much love for Krishna. So even the biggest businessman with millions of dollars and doing so many things, like Prithu Maharaj, like Arjuna, like Yudhisthira, they're doing so many things. But they're unalloyed devotees of the Lord. They're unalloyed devotees of the Lord. So you're also educated, you're going to university, you're going to do so many things. We want you to be the leaders of the world. Not just India. We want you to become the leaders of the world. and direct the world to Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, for every town and village of the world. So we need highly intelligent people, and we need them in the top positions. Like this. So just like Nrisimha Dev is saying, you do your duty as a king. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, no, you should not just divorce yourself from the world. We're here, we're in the middle of the city. We're in the middle of the cities of the world. Now we'll make schools, we'll make universities. Prabhupada said, we'll make political parties. We want the government. And we'll show you what to do with these terrorists. Then we'll show you what to do with terrorists. No compromise. Very strict. Is it given in Srimad Bhagavatam how such leaders should behave? So in this way, there's nothing. All these things can be used for Krishna's pleasure. And a devotee, he is protected by Krishna. Krishna gives him all protection. He's always protected. He works under the orders of Krishna. That is also being explained. This is the order of Nrisimha Dev. You accept the throne and sit on it. You know, because Prahlad might say, I don't want it. And he did. He did say, he didn't want it. Give it to somebody else, I don't want it. But Nrisimha Dev is telling him, no, you accept it. And you use everything to set an example to make everybody devotees of the Lord. And this, so I've just touched on a few little points. A few points, because many of these things are being brought up in this way, Hare Krishna. They're all being brought up. Many different points are being brought up in Srimad Bhagavatam. And I said, each of these points that are being made here, we could speak on them for weeks and weeks if we go into detail. Why? What is this? And there's whole chapters on these subject matters in this way. So we can, but at least we could understand the essential point is that all duties, all rules and regulations are ultimately meant for remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. And we should execute our duties with full consciousness of Krishna. And we should cultivate internally a mood of service to Krishna, a mood, a service attitude. I may have a service attitude to Krishna and I'm serving Krishna nicely, but I may be a policeman with a big stick and I'm banging on the side of a bus. Move your bus, you... Because that's my job. I may be a soldier with gun and I have to threaten on the border. You come here, we'll kill you. Because that's my job. But internally, I have a submissive and servant mood to the Vaishnavas, to the Brahmanas and Krishna. So that is cultivated. A devotee is always cultivating that mood. So then when we hear about these kings who have developed that mood, we're not confused. Because we understand what it is. Okay. So I'll finish there. Does anybody have any question? I told you. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Haribol.